I received a text message. Isn't technology fun? Received a text message from one of our church members, Kenny Hill, just a few minutes before we began worship. And he sent me a photo of his escapade. Lynn, you didn't know he was on an escapade, did you? He's on a hunting expedition in Iowa, right? Iowa. And Kenny and I, we do a little hunting together. He and Noah and I have hunted before. And he reminded me once of Nolan. You didn't know you were going to make the sermon this morning. The first time, and maybe the first time, or at least one time, he took Nolan squirrel hunting. And he said they went, and squirrel hunting's tricky, any of you have ever been. You have to be real still. You'll think there are no squirrels in the woods. And you lay down there and you sit down real still, and just as you go to sleep, all the squirrels arrive in the woods. And that's how it was kind of for Kenny and Nolan. They got still. They were stealth. And the squirrels arrived and they spotted one. And Nolan got his prop and he got to looking, and Kenny whispered and said, "Go ahead, son, whenever you're ready." And Nolan had that one eye closed and one eye open. And just as he's about to pull the trigger, he said, "Daddy, you think that squirrel's got a mama and daddy?" Kenny stood up and said, "Come on, son, let's just go home. You want to tell me?" Now, Nolan's not the first. My little Luke Hill, as mean as a yard dog as he is a consummate preacher's kid. Y'all know about preacher's kids, don't you? Noah's a great kid, a little angel. And Luke, well, he's the opposite, I think, at times. I've told people he is either going to be the president or the United States or in the prison. We just hadn't decided which one. He's got a lot of momentum going in one direction. And Luke, he went hunting with us once. Noah and me went deer hunting. And Luke and I were in a stand together. And just on time, as if we'd set the clock, it was just getting that dusky dark, you know. And here came the deer. And Luke, like Nolan, he got his prop ready. And he got ready. And he closed that one eye and opened the other. And he had them in his sights. And he was just about to pull the trigger, and he said, "Dad, I want to shoot him, but I don't want him to die." I said, "Well, that's okay, Luke. Just go ahead and aim and pull the trigger. If you don't hit him, that's okay." So he did. He pulled the trigger and deer went everywhere. He said, "Dad, I think I missed him." I said, "Yeah, I do too, Luke. But that sure was a good shot." He just wanted to shoot. He, like Nolan, and let's be honest, any of us that love in this life, We at times, whether it's hunting or certainly the more intimate aspects of human relationships, even beyond those animal relationships, we cringe, we fear, and we hurt at the thought of death. Not something we like to talk about, think about. And certainly experiences family members for those that we love and cherish the most. My mom shared yesterday, we had prayer concerns for Billy Jones this morning. Beautiful man of the faith and life. And ran a bulldozer up into his 80s. And could do some of the prettiest work you've ever seen. Did you know you can do pretty work with a bulldozer? You can't you, Robert? If you're good at it. He could make that ground so smooth. And his precious wife, Matt, they'd been married, I guess, over 60 years. And my mom visited with Matt yesterday, and she just broke down in tears and said, "I just don't know if I can go on living without him. That love that we have with those family members, those that are so precious to us. And the thought of losing them, they just crush us. And then when we experience that event, a portion of us is lost with them. Sadness and sorrow, death, pain and agony that we all will know and certainly have known at the loss of those who are most precious to us. And it's certainly preached, proclaimed in our scripture this day where Paul reminds us that we as people of faith, that we have something to sustain us and to remind us and to, yes, comfort us when this greatest fear approaches the lives and the relationships of all of us. He says here as he begins the reading, in verse 13 he says, we, speaking to the people of faith, speaking of those who have hope in Jesus, should not be uninformed. That's the words he used. Let me teach you, he says. Let me inform you that we shouldn't be uninformed about those who have died, those that we temporarily lost. Don't you like that word? Temporarily lost. We should not grieve as those who have no hope. You know, that's good news as well. That we have hope in the Lord. Now, what is hope? Hope is having that sure and certain reassurance of something to come. It's not there now, but we know for sure it's to come. Now, I spoke with you earlier about Noah and I doing some hunting with Kenny, and we used to go turkey hunting. That was our specialty. We were good at it, too. We could find those turkey. We'd get right where they were. Sometimes we'd camp out under the tree and not even know it. They'd be right above us and be too close for comfort, right, Benton, when that happened? And on one occasion, Noah and Kenny were there together and they were right under this tree. And just like it was choreographed, that big gobbler, is that what you call him? He flew down. That old long beard, one like that, was hanging down. He flew down right in front of Noah. Kenny's eyes got big. And he whispered, he said, there he is. Be careful, no, don't move. Noah turned and said, what? Old turkey tucked them feathers and ran off. And Kenny said, never mind. And you know, old Kenny, I don't know if it's because he was such a bad guy or we weren't that great of a hunt. We never did get a turkey. But we kept on going. And I suspect if he called us up this afternoon, me and Noah, and said, y'all want to go turkey hunt? Noah and I would load up. We'd probably load up. You know why? Because we have hope. We believe it's going to happen one day. Old Kenny has put us in the presence of them before, and we know it's just a matter of time before we fulfill what we're after, where we gain that satisfaction, where we succeed. There's hope. We've seen it. And we know that there's joy also in the journey. You believe that, ladies? There's joy in those little knuckle-headed, stinky men getting out and going and hunting together and doing escapades like that. There's joy in the journey. And there's sure and certain hope in the ultimate satisfaction. Wow, doesn't that speak to our faith and our journey? I think that's what Paul's trying to say to us in this very, one of his very first letters that he wrote to the Christian faith, to the church. And yeah, here we go again, Thessalonica. He said, I want you to have hope as people of faith. to know that you will receive that ultimate satisfaction far beyond a successful hunt or whatever we pursue in this life, that in God we will be fully restored, where we'll know the joy of our salvation, where goodbyes are no more, where sicknesses are conquered, where crying and mourning and grief are gone forever. Wow. What a hope. What a gift to come. So yes, we grieve and we fear in some ways the sense of death and dying. But we, as people of the faith, we have the hope of knowing whose we are and where we're going. See, Paul goes on, he says, here in verse 16, I love the way he records here, for the Lord himself will cry out with command, with God's trumpet. It's an announcement. It's important. Our arrival in the presence of God. Have you ever been greeted with a trumpet announcing your arrival before? Wow, that's a majestic entrance, isn't it? And God looks to you and to me and says, you're worthy of a holy coronation. You're royalty, you people of faith. Not because of what you've done, but because of whose you are. The God of life and love and hopes, children, his creation. To reaffirm us and to make sure we don't miss that, Paul says here in verse 14, he says, since we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, we will rise from the dead. But listen to this. It's easy to miss this part. For God will bring him with those who have died. Excuse me, let me say it again. God will bring him those who have died. Sounds like God is presenting Jesus with a gift. God will bring him those who have died. God will gift Jesus, in other words, with our presence. Wow, did y'all know you were so precious in the eyes of Jesus? That it's not only for us that we have a hope, but here Paul says that we're a gift to Jesus, the one we serve. Our restoration, our resurrection will be for us, and in the words of Scripture here, it will be for Jesus. Haven't we as family members yearned for a journey for some that we love and cherish? I guarantee you, Miss Betty Holland's been probably excited all day knowing she's going to have family with her today. She yearned for Charlie and these beautiful grandkids and Paige to be with her. There's a hope in that. Their presence, it's for her. It's a gift to be with those we love. And Paul describes it in the words of our scripture today that our restoration is for Jesus. He yearns to have us in his family forever. Friends, that's the love of your God. That's the hope we have as Christian people. That the end is not in this broken world, that death and dying will be conquered forever. You see, that's the words, I think, that Paul begins, those words that Leon loved in our Apostles' Creed, where we proclaim that we are children of the one who died but yet rose again. He lived the words of the faith. It says here in 14, he died and rose again. The significance of that is that death could not hold Jesus. He conquered it. He won. It had the final say. His victory, his life did. And that is our gift as his children. So Paul ends his reading with one final appeal. He says to us as Christian people, he says here, therefore in verse 18, therefore encourage one another with these words. Friends, as a preacher of the gospel, let me say this. I don't know if I get it right. I certainly don't get it right for everybody, but I get it right for me. Here's what I mean. I say, and I try to preach and lead this congregation in what works for me, and that is to pursue in every way I can a ministry of encouragement. That's what stuck for me along my journey when I was a child of the faith. You know, I never resonated so much with those sermons, those ministries that browbeat you, made you feel worse. Old Benton and I had a theological discussion one time. He said, you know, I know how bad I am. I don't need to hear that. I know how sorry I am. I need to be picked up a little bit. And I certainly don't want us to ignore our brokenness. But let's celebrate more the hope and encouragement we have in our God, not the brokenness that we don't have without Him. In other words, I made a decision a long time ago in my ministry and my faith. Friends, I'm committed more to loving you into heaven than scaring you out of hell. I want to encourage you with the hope of our faith. That's what inspired me and gave me the joy of our salvation. So people of the faith, let us embrace the words of Paul today. Let us encourage one another, for we are God's precious creation, and He yearns to share life with us forever. That's the promise of what's to come, and that's the hope of the here and now. Amen. And now let us share.